They force their way through the dense vegetation, pushing aside creepers and stepping over the rotting remains of fallen trees and branches. The ground was soft and seemed to sap the strength from Matt's feet as he walked. The air was so damp, it seemed to cling to his skin. The whole place smelled like a hot, dank greenhouse. They talked hardly at all. In fact, they had barely spoken, except when they had to, since Robin had explained about the discs and what Harper was up to. At last, Matt summoned up the courage to ask if they could stop for another break. He gulped thirstily from his water bottle. "You don't need permission. You don't have to act like I'm a grown-up and you're a child," Robin told him sternly. "I'm not," Matt protested. "Course not. Anyway, listen to you, telling me how to behave suddenly." "I've always done that," she said, looking away. When she looked back at him, her face was set and stern. "Look, I know you're not happy, but there's nothing I can do." "I'm not asking you to." "It's still me, you know. Nothing's changed, except your perceptions, all right?" She checked her compass, avoiding his stare. Matt shrugged. "If you say so." "I'm still Robin, still the same girl you met a few days ago." She tilted her head to one side. Her hair was tied back in a ponytail, which swung behind her head. "Nothing's changed." She hesitated a moment, then added, "We're still friends, you know."
"Are we?
Aren't we?"
"I guess," he admitted.
She punched him gently on the shoulder. "Good. Come on, then. Friends."
"Friends," he agreed. And just saying it made him feel better than he had all day.
"One thing," she called back over her shoulder as she forced her way through the forest. "Just friends, all right? Don't get to like me too much."
"As if," he muttered.
Smith had given Robin a satellite photograph of the area. Matt was surprised at how detailed it was, how close up. It looked as if it had been taken from a low-flying plane, not from space. It showed the mountain, and from above you could see that the top was hollow, covered with a mesh of vegetation, but with water glinting beneath. The waterfall was a white smudge on the side of the mountain. Further round, a small dark area had been circled in white. According to Smith, it had taken a trained expert with a magnifying glass to spot it on an even sharper and closer printout than he was allowed to give them. They hoped it was where the underground river that ran through the amphitheater emerged from beneath the mountain. A pale line, as thin as a hair, could, just possibly, be the river itself, weaving through the forest on its meandering path to join the lake under the waterfall.